Welcome to Tales Beneath the Surface. Available on all respectable podcast platforms. Just so you know, this episode contains mature themes and upsetting scenes. You have been warned.
Huh? Oh, yes, right, we're recording. Where were we? Of course. Hello there, listeners. I'm the narrator. Yes, that's who I am. And welcome back to Tales Beneath the Surface. A journey into the unknown. Yes, our shared journey of discovery. Well, I must say, some of these plot lines have really caught in my craw, jammed in my grill, so to speak. But the show must go on. Yes, the show. Join me now for something a little different, a little longer, an extended trip into the imaginary. Yes, definitely imaginary writer's world. By this time, I'd normally be waxing lyrical, pontificating upon the themes of what you're about to hear. But no, not today. Time is running short, and there is so much to find, so much to lose. Private Eyes. Where do you say you were from again? It slipped my mind.
Mr. Carter, you know where I'm from. We've gone over this on the phone and when I arrived. I've a busy day ahead. Let's not retread old ground.
Oh, okay, if you say so. Well, it was autumn. Oh, I used to love the autumn. All the trees changing colours, the crunch of the leaves underfoot, you know, the beauty of it. It's a shifting season, a sort of in between, you know? Where winter's cold just started to bite, but there's like a little bit of summer's warmth in the sun. I used to love that sense of change in the air. Felt, I don't know, magical. Not anymore, though. Can't see the magic in much anymore. Not after seeing the real thing. Rob me of any wonder. All I want these days is for nature's mysteries to remain just that. Mysteries. Mind if I smoke?
It's your life. Go ahead.
Thanks. Some people get funny about it. Well, it was October, a couple of years back. Austin and I'd snoop. A job a former colleague of mine at the Met sorted out once I'd rolled out of there. It was greasy work, following one half of failing marriages, paid for by the other. The worst of it was all the spy shite they got off the telly thinking they'd hide their dull affairs. Only thing is, any time you're hired by someone in the same house, it isn't difficult to get a tracker slipped onto their person, if you know what I mean. Now, most of the time, there's no need for that. Sit around long enough and everyone shows you their guts. This job was different, though. No sifting through broken pieces of failed relationships, trying not to get cut. Someone's wayward kid had gone a while without checking in. Their parents, part of the rich set out and made a railway, finally got worried, probably after one too many backhanded questions from their dinner companions after they'd shared stories of their own kids' activities. There are a couple of lawyers, big in the corporate space. Hard bastards with soft hands. Not the kind of people you want to piss off. The mother was distant, preoccupied with her phone, getting called away to deal with an international deal that was threatening to go sour. You know the type. The father was in the room, going through the motions and describing their kid in tedious fucking detail, treating it as if it were a list of contract amendments rather than a discussion of the fate of his son. Wait there. I'll dig out my files from the case. I think I've got a recording of the interview. Either way, it'll be useful for reference. Ah, yeah, here we go. Yeah, there they are. All my notes are the recordings of the case. If I'd known you were coming, I could have had it all out ready.
That's quite all right, Mr. Carter. Now, please continue.
Of course. Well, it's all out now. There's no harm done. Yeah. I still prefer tapes. Could just be habit, I suppose. But tapes fail less often than hard drives. And I can always pull the recordings off them. So, swings and roundabouts. To be honest with you, you can't beat the feel of it. That and the ritual of getting them out. Am I right?
I suppose so.
Well. Oh, sorry, do you mind if I have another?
That's fine, Mr. Carter. Like I said, it's your life and your home. Smoke as much as you want.
Cheers. Well, let's get to it. Tuesday, the 18th of October, 2012. Preliminary interview with Mr. and Mrs. Prendergast. You don't mind the recorder, do you? It's so I've something to refer to later down the line.
Of course not. Continue, Mr. Carter.
Right, you are. Do you mind if I smoke?
Yes, I do mind. Filthy habit.
No problem. So, how long has your son been missing?
Must be... Gloria! Gloria, when was the last time you saw Crispin?
2 weeks, darling.
There you are. It has been 2 weeks since I last saw him.
Right. Is there a reason you've come to my firm rather than the police? They have departments for this kind of thing.
Well, Mr. Carter, he has pulled stunts like this before, and I've always found the long arm of the law to be a little clumsy. It cannot help but draw attention to itself whenever the victims are of a somewhat higher status. No, we would much rather something more subtle, discreet, if you will.
Of course. Our firm's reputation
Yes, Mr. Carter, I would not have called if that was not the case.
Right. So, your son, I'll need a description, his age, his name, any known associates, and any places he likes to hang around.
The name is Crispin. He is 22 years old, around my height. Sandy brown hair, normally messy. Why don't you just take a picture? There should be one around here somewhere. Oh, wait there, do not smoke! Well, it is a little out of date, but you get the general feel for him.
Any pictures are better than none. I have a decent imagination, can probably chart out what he looks like from this alone. Does he work? Does he have his own place?
I will be honest with you, Mr. Carter. We are not close. I do not know if he works or where he is living. He receives a stipend from me each month to live on. Whether he supplements that is his business. Last I knew, he was spending his time in Stoke Newington with a bunch of reprobates, no doubt.
Okay, not to push, but have you got anything more recent? Any more to go on?
Look, Mr. Carter, if I knew any more, I would not be calling you. This is your field of expertise, is it not?
All right, of course. Can you tell me who he banks with? Would give me a potential avenue to find the address he's registered to.
Seems a little pedestrian, but fine. He holds an account at Coutts. We set it up for him when he was a child. I'll contact the account manager and tell him to expect your visit. Mention our names at the desk. That should open things up for you, Mr. Carter.
Great. Well, if there's nothing else, I'll be on my way. I'll keep you updated as the investigation goes along. For payment,
we have paid your rate for the month up front. Another month is pending, regardless whether you finish it quicker. You know where the door is. Good day.
Jesus. Be seeing you. Pretty cold, right? Anyway, job's a job, is what I thought. Their money was good, so who cares about their parenting? At the end of the day, they care just enough to pay me, and money talks. Didn't have much to start, and the picture was 10 years out of date. Who fucking knew if he'd still look the same? Still, I've got a lot of contacts. People owed me a favour for one reason or another, if you know what I mean. So it didn't take long to flesh out the sketches parents give me. It was a familiar sad story of a rich kid spiralling out of normal life with enough money to keep going, but no one who cared enough to stop him falling. He'd been kicked out of a couple of private schools around the city, ended up in a more serious sort of place out in the sticks, and then off to uni. Three of them. Yet still, no degree. Then back to London, close to mummy and daddy, but living worlds apart. A few arrests, possession raps mostly, and a couple of disorderly conducts, all ending with cautions or quashed files. Help from Ma and Pa, no doubt. That gave me a few places to follow up on. Things to look into till I could get more concrete information from power companies and bank statements. I'd a list of pass addresses, scattered across a couple of boroughs inside the M25. It'd take an afternoon to whip round them all. I didn't think I'd run into him, so it wouldn't hurt just to head straight up to the door and give it a knock. If he was there, then it was a couple of months' pay for an easy half-day's work. Well, as I'm sure you'd guessed, he wasn't. A waif of a girl opened the door, couldn't have been more than 20. Her eyes were wide as saucers, dark rings stamped around them. Looked like she'd been awake for a while, a couple of days at least. Probably drugs. Well, that will disturb sleep. She said she didn't know Crispin and wasn't sure who owned the place. She hadn't been there long. I could hear the sound of music playing and smell the shit weed they were smoking and didn't fancy heading in to confirm that he wasn't there since I had a list of other places to go. I gave her my card, told her to let Crispin know I'd like to speak to him, and I went on my way. As I was walking down the stairs back to the street, though, she called out, "He's not right, be careful," and slammed the door. Thought twice about heading back up to get some more answers, but didn't think it was worth the aggro. The rest of the day and the two following were much the same. Knocking on doors all over a couple of boroughs and getting told either no, he didn't live here, no, not sure when he did, I don't know him, I've never seen him, who's that then, who are you then, what do you want then? I'm sure you know the drill. You hear enough of the right kind of denials, and after a while, you know you're on the right track.
Mr. Carter, please, how did you find him?
Oh, right you are. Well, I'll cut right to the quick.
Thank you.
It was about 2 weeks before I got a sniff of where Crispin had been. I'd given out my cards everywhere and been back to the printers 3 times to get extra stacks and, if you can believe it, earn myself a loyalty card out of it. Well, one of them turned up trumps. I got the call on Saturday morning. On the 5th, Saturday 5th. It was a man's voice. He sounded winded, like he'd gone for a run or had a shock. Well, you can hear for yourself. I had a recorder set up on the number on the card. Most of the time, I would have reused the tape. But, well, you'll hear soon enough. Here we go. If you'd let me know you're coming, I could have had this all prepared.
Mr. Carter, I'm here now. Please continue.
Right you are. Carter speaking. How can I help? Hello? I can hear you. You got something to say? Say.
You looking for Crispin? Crispin Pendergast, right?
Yeah. I guess you got...
Shut up. I haven't got time for this noise. Look, You want to see him? Be down by the Garman Road Industrial Park, near the Banbury Reservoir, at a crossroads leading to the Lee. Any time from 8. Once Stark's settled in, you'll see him there. Yeah, you'll fucking see him there, all right.
Right. Is there anything else I shouldn't...
I mean, I could hardly resist that now, could I? Still, the call made me a little leery, you know. The voice and the delivery was a bit much. Got a few bits and bobs to cover my back, so I headed out there with the full kit. Of course, best protection's decent cardio, and I am, well, I was fighting fit. I had a few hours to kill before dark, and I spent it digging up everything I could about the crossroads. It had a long history as a meeting point for traders, and there was even an executioner's block there back in the day. Goes all the way back to Roman times. A place right at the edge of the city, and you
Does this have a point?
Well, just that before it was paved over and all these beautiful metal boxes were built, there used to be a place with quite a storied history.
Mr. Carter, if I wanted to know more about London's past, I'd go to a museum. Please talk about the case.
Fine. It all feeds together, as you'll see. I got there an hour early and left the car nearby. Give me time to have a nose around, make sure I wasn't going to get jumped. Well, there was nothing there. Kind of what you'd expect for an industrial estate on a Saturday night. Pretty fucking empty. There were a couple of cars of kids getting high, one or two diligent types keeping an evening trade going, and that was about it. I was back in the car with 20 minutes to spare, more than enough time to pull it up in a nice shady corner under a street lamp with a blown bulb. Good place to keep an eye on the meat without being spotted myself. At least, that's what I thought. Well, you can hear for yourself. I've got the recording I made in the car somewhere in here. Let me see. Oh, I know it's here somewhere. You know, you really should have told me you were coming. I would have had it
Mr.
all...
Mr. Carter, you know why this visit was unexpected. We've gone over it. Why do you keep bringing it up?
Well, of course. Of course. Anyway, here it is. Saturday 18th. Crispin Pendergrass case. Following up on the phone call received this morning. Up here on Garman Road Estate. Arrived an hour ago, had a look around. Not much on. Been in the car about 20 minutes, a couple hundred metres away from where the tip's said to be. Got my binoculars here, and the spot is under the streetlight, so visibility is good. It's 2 minutes past 8, so kickoff should be any time now. Ooh, say his name and he will appear. Two men approaching, one tall, about 6 foot, wrapped up well, hat, scarf, big woolen trench coat, all dark. The other a bit shorter but broad. Fuck, he looks like the side of a barn. Dressed in dark clothes, the broader one smoking, took a drag. Not Crispin, no surprise there. Haven't got a good look at the other yet. Now approaching the crossroads, coming towards me. I'll reach the point in a couple minutes. I'm guessing these are the guys. Right, yes, they're waiting, both looking impatient, stamping their feet and looking around. Tall one's got his back to me. Turn around, my bosom chum. Come on, you prick, show me yes, look at you, you fucking beauty. That's Crispin. No doubt in my mind, still got the same sharp face he had in the photo. 10 years old, but that's him. No idea who the other guy is. Looks like they've seen someone coming from the other direction. Fucking warehouse blocking my view. See you soon enough, though. Neither of them look particularly pleased. Alright, looks like they're talking. Okay, then here we go. They've been joined by three other men. Can't see any of their faces. They've got hoods up and over their heads. Looks like they're wearing robes. Weird get up even for London. They're not like I'm keeping up with the looks. They're talking and Crispin's handed something over to the head of the trio. Fuck, didn't catch what it was. Talking. Crispin's mate's getting animated. Wait, what the fuck? One of the other two hooded fellas is looking round. Wait, he's looking right at me. There's got to be chance. There's no way he can see me from here. Can he just pick them out with a binoc? Can't see their face. Fucking hell, he has. How the fuck? He's turned to the rest. Interrupted. Wait, he's pointing over here. Jesus fucking Christ, they're all looking over now. They're coming over. I can move sharpish if they do. Wait, they're just standing there staring. What's that coming in? Looks like smoke. Can't see their feet. What the fuck? Is that fog? There's nothing anywhere else. Shouldn't be cold enough for that. Right, I can't see them anymore. Fog's thick as fuck. Doesn't come much closer to me than the crossroads. It's bizarre. Gotta give it a minute and then... No way. It's cleared. It's cleared and they're fucking gone. But how the fuck is that possible? I'll get over there, see where they run to. Come on. No sign of them. Fuck. Do a quick lap, and I'm getting out and having a look. Calling this here.
What happened next, Mr. Carter?
Jesus, not one for drama, are ya? I drove straight to the crossroads. Didn't think gunning the engine mattered since it seemed like they'd made me. Pulled up and I couldn't see any sign of anyone down either road. Gave both a quick scope with my binocs and nothing. If they'd left in a straight line, I should have been able to see them down one of the streets. There weren't any turn-offs for a good half mile, so they would have had to be sprinting to make it before I got there. It was fucking strange. That and the mist was truly bizarre. I had a look round on the ground where they'd been standing and there wasn't much. They hadn't been kind enough to drop their birth certificates or diaries, but I did find a card, all in black, a name etched in white across it. Abraxas, and entry on the other side. I gave the evening up as a loss, but there was a surprise waiting for me when I got back home. Came through the door a little hacked off, wanting a whiskey and then bed. But then I noticed the answering machine light on my work line blinking. Don't worry, it's on the tape I just played. I don't have to get up anyway.
I'm looking right at you. Hello, Mr. Garter. I can see you, and you can see me. If you'd like to know more, meet us at 51 degrees, 36 minutes, 14.29 seconds north. By 0 degrees, 0 minutes, 10.1 seconds east, in 2 days' time. Come after dark. We'll be waiting.
I checked the log on the machine, and the call lined up with when that prick in the hood made me. Strange, right? I couldn't believe it at first. Must have checked it a dozen times. I was certain that someone was pulling some strange fucking joke. I mean, what else could it be, right?
Right. Did you follow up on this, Mr. Carter?
You need to work on your interviewing skills. Damn. Where was it you said you'd...
Mr. Carter, we've been over this. I apologize for my briskness. Please continue.
No problem. More of a note for the future, you know. You get more with honey than salt. Tip between the pros kind of thing. Well, I was pretty shaken up by all this. Double-checked all the locks were bolted and then had that whiskey. By the time the deadline came round, though, my curiosity overcame my fear. I was going to follow up. I spent the 2 days in between finding out everything I could about Abraxas to see if there were any groups, companies or events that had used the name any time in London. There wasn't much. Well, nothing useful to me, at least. And a whole bunch of shit about it being one of the Gnostic gods, but the people writing about it were either bone-dry historians or woo-woo New Age types, you know, hippy-dippy dickheads you get running crystal shops around Camden. But yeah, nothing concrete, and nothing that sounded like the people Crispin had fallen in with. When I came out of my house Monday morning, there was an envelope leaning against the door. It was like thick, heavy black paper with a white wax seal over the joins. You know, like a roll summons from some medieval drama. The opposite side was blank. Inside was an invitation. The name of Abraxas carved in white around the border, like the card. There was a crest embossed in its centre of a man wearing Roman armour, holding a shield and a whip. His head like a crowning rooster, with twin snake tails instead of legs. I matched the carvings I'd seen on the Abraxas stones while digging through the internet. The reverse had my name written, well, arranged, in cut-out newspaper letters like a ransom note. The contrast was stark and the glue was peeling. My guess is they have a huge amount of cards made but can't get names done custom. Either that or they didn't want to give themselves away with their handwriting.
Do you... have the card?
No, unfortunately not. I took it with me, just in case I needed it to get into wherever this gathering was happening.
Seems a little foolhardy.
Well, I'd let some people know where I was headed and set up a dead man's phone. If I didn't call or send a text to a number every 2 hours, then people would have been alerted. As you can see, I didn't need it in the end, but I did lose track of the invite somewhere along the way. A lot more pulling my attention away than the thought of holding on to that particular thing.
Such as?
I was just getting to that. So, I had one personal invitation, a set of coordinates and a couple of hours to kill before sundown. I packed myself out with heavy duty gear this time around. Stab vest, steel toe boots, biker gloves and a couple of surprises I held back for the risky jobs. Took me an hour to get over that part of town where they'd pointed me to. A couple of miles further northeast than where the first meeting had been. Near the border of Chingford and Walthamstow. Only left me an hour or so to do some snooping before the evening rolled in. The place looked like a closed pub. One of those Grand Victorian places built on the corner of a crossroads. God, fucking crossroads again. Jesus.
Mr. Carter.
Ah, right, well, yes, the pub. Well, it looked old. You know the kind. Probably served weary travellers in their horse-drawn carriages before cars were on the roads and the M25 was wrapped around London proper. Oh, I would have killed to have seen that. Well, it didn't obviously look like a squat, but then again, that can sometimes be difficult to tell from the outside, if you know what I mean. It was a chippy over the road, so I posted up there, got some dinner, and waited. The building came alive as the sun set. By the time all the street lamps were up, there was a red glow like a strip club's lights coming from under the eaves of the roof. I asked the people working in the chippy about it, but it was strange, like they hadn't noticed it was there, even though it must have been around longer than their takeaway. I finished my food and waited another half hour drinking down a cup of sugary tea. Hadn't seen anyone going in or out the whole time I'd been there. There were lights shining through some of the windows, sickly looking blues and greens staining the pavement. No one who walked past seemed to notice anything. Out on the street, I could hear rumbling through my feet. The tube didn't come out this far, so I thought it must be some bass kicking out from the basement of the pub across the way. Didn't seem like much else to do, so I shook myself, crossed the road and walked round the side of the building to a tunnel I'd seen earlier. Crossing over into the light cast out from the building felt like crossing a threshold. Bit like the resistance cling film gives your thumb when you tear through it after the microwave dings. When I looked back at the road, it was like there was a misted glass between us. The road looked like washed out, kind of blurry. Turning back, I saw a door had opened into the dark hallway. The shadow was almost solid. Two figures slipped out and stood there, silent-like. The one on the left held out their hand, waiting. I pulled my pritstick invitation out, which brought a smile to their faces, and they ushered me inside. I could hear, like, music now. Rolling drums with synths screaming over the top. It was a burble of conversation and laughter creeping up from under the doors off the corridor. The two from the door walked past me, choosing a pair of doors opposite each other to go through. I felt a little lost. I braced myself and headed deeper. There's a staircase at the end of the corridor, spiralling out of sight. Most of the noise was coming from there, so I followed it down. Went through to the basement and then down again. Deeper. Deep enough that I felt the pressure change, teeming into my ear canals and crushing down on my shoulders. At the bottom, there was a rusted iron door, like deep orange and brown accretions scabbing over the heavy metal. I knocked and waited. Nothing happened. More than a little anticlimactic. I stood there feeling silly for a moment. Then something drew my hand to my pocket. The heat I could feel through my coat. The card they'd dropped at the industrial park was in it, though. I couldn't remember putting it there. It felt heavier than cardboard should. Heavier than I remembered. And the edges were sharper somehow. I nicked myself. And the cut closed. Like it had had time to heal. The embossed symbol glowed. And the door swung open. There was a half circle of people, both hooded and bareheaded, waiting on the other side of the door. I'll be honest with you, I was shitting bricks by now. All this strange shit got my back up. It was worse than that disappearing trick they pulled in the fog. Then one of them spoke and welcomed me in. I recognised the voice from the second phone message.
I've got recorded of what happened next. I'd had a mic tucked inside my coat, recording since I'd gone in through the front door. It's a little rough, and to be honest with you, even though I was there, and I've listened back to it more than once, still bits I can't make sense of. Well, you can hear for yourself.
Ah, fuck. How did...
You came... Oh, what a treat we have for you. You get to see something few outside of our little group has witnessed. Our friend Crispin here is about to reach his apotheosis. He's going to join the ranks of our little band.
Why the fuck is he chained up? What have you done to him? He's bleeding.
The bindings are for our safety, you understand. And the blood, well, that will have to remain a surprise. Now that you have finally arrived, we can finish our little performance. Arise, Abraxas!
You killed him!
Hail Abraxas! Accept my sacrifice!
What? What the fuck was that?
Whatever do you mean? Just a little misdirection. A sprinkling of smoke and mirrors.
Piss off, you smug prick.
Oh, come now. You cannot be telling us that we scared you. You, the big bad detective.
You can both get fucked, that's what you can do.
Mr. Carter, my apologies. It seems our little joke went a little bit too far.
Bloody hell.
When I realised you'd been sent by my dear old progenitors, well, I could hardly pass up the chance for a little mischief. Well, now, you've seen me alive and well. Do let them know I'm quite all right and that their investment has paid off. Yes, it has paid off quite magnificently. Now, off you pop. I'm afraid the rest of the evening is an invite-only sort of thing, and yours has, well, expired.
As I'm sure you can imagine, I didn't need telling twice. I left as fast as I fucking could. Got up and out of there and didn't see a soul on the stairs or on the street. I basically ran to the car. The drive home was unpleasant. Once I got back home, though, and sat down with a whiskey and all the doors and windows locked, I calmed down a bit. Couldn't convince myself that it had been a projection or something. Fucking hell, it still sticks with me, though.
What did you see, Mr. Carter? If it's not too difficult. Like you said, the tape is a little unclear.
No, it's fine. Enough time has passed, so it's not so raw. Don't worry, though. It's still etched in my head. Well, when I got there, there was a half-naked hooded figure chained up in the centre of the floor, with a half moon of people ringed around him at the edge of some symbol carved on the floor. Wait, it matched the symbol on the card. Fuck, of course.
Mr. Carter.
What? Sorry. Yeah. Crispin, I guess, was fucked up. There was blood pouring from his back mixed with ink. Maybe from, like, drawings showing where to cut. Should have been unconscious with that much blood loss. Or at the very least, visibly in pain, but thing was, he wasn't. His breathing was calm and steady, and he was holding the weight of the chains without trembling. What happened next was horrifying. As you heard, it happened too quick for me to do anything to stop it. The people ringing him threw some sort of powder down at their feet, and it burst into multicoloured flames, and this guy stepped up to Crispin and ripped his throat open with this nasty, serrated blade. Blood sprayed everywhere. And here's the fucked up thing. All the people around were screaming. And they sounded happy, you know. Dirty fucking grins plastered across their faces. Gets a little hazy here, but seemed like there was an explosion of flame and smoke in the middle of the room, just behind Crispin, bleeding out. And then I saw it, like a giant scaled arm reach out from the smoke and pull the hood off his head. He shouted like an invitation. Then the arm plunged in through the tear in his throat and came out covered in gore, with his beating heart clenched in his fist. It held it for a moment and crushed it in a shower of blood. More blood than a fucking heart could hold, and there was an explosion of light, smoke, and sound, and it took a minute for my sight to come back and my ears to stop ringing, but when it did, the room was empty, apart from Crispin, with his throat whole again, and the mystery man you heard on the tape. Everyone else was gone, and the floor was clean. There wasn't any blood, and the carvings had disappeared. I didn't know what to make of it. Still don't, to be perfectly honest. And well, you've heard the recording. It must have been a trick. He was standing right there. I spoke to him.
And what happened next, Mr. Carter?
Well, I saw the parents, passed on the messages and collected. They were good on their offer of the bonus, even though I hadn't brought him back with me. They were more than satisfied.
Anything else you'd like to share, Mr. Carter?
Not really, no. I mean, I think that's more than enough. Though, it is still the strangest thing I've experienced.
Okay, then. Well?
Actually, there is just one thing.
What?
I'm still sure the whole thing must have been some sort of trick, but there was something else. It's just come back. Just as they sent me away.
What was it, Mr. Carter? Think hard now.
His eyes. Yeah, there was something about his eyes.
His eyes? What about his eyes, Mr. Carter?
It was like there was foil or something over him. They flashed silver when he was there giving his little speech.
Are you certain of that, Mr. Carter?
Yes. Actually, yes. Completely.
Well, that is unfortunate.
Who's that?
My colleague. One moment.
Wait, you can't just bring people in. In fact, I don't even remember inviting...
Stay quiet, Mr. Carter. As quiet as the grave.
It's him. A quick wipe for...
You can remember the eyes.
Ah, shame. Mr. Carter. Mr. Carter. Look at me, Mr. Carter. Right in the eyes, if you please. Now, you're feeling a little tense, Mr. Carter.
Wait.
Sit down. Your heart rate is elevating. It's pounding, Mr. Carter. I can see it in the vein throbbing on your forehead, and... Yes, that's it.
What?
You're sweating, Mr. Carter. And your vision's blurring, Mr. Carter. Can you see my face?
No. No, I can't. What's happening?
You're getting double, triple, multiple vision. And the room's spinning faster and faster, Mr. Carter. You're confused, Mr. Carter. You don't know where you are. Where are you, Mr. Carter? Where are you? Very good, Mr. Carter. There's a terrible pressure building in your head. It feels like you're going to explode. All you need is a little burst to relieve the pressure. Just a little prick. And he's gone.
What did you do?
ICH.
What?
A stroke. A big one, too.
Good. I think this is all of his pertinent files. There might be a couple more in those drawers over there. Have a quick rummage, then set the fire. That will get anything we didn't find. No one will know we were here.
Right you are.
Sometimes I think the Abraxans do this just to give us more work. I hate cleaning up after their sloppy fucking excesses.
Yeah, we're gonna have to roll them up. Gonna be a fucking mess.
Another day's problem. You good? Right, set the gas. Leave a cigarette in his hand. Should burn any trace we were here. Let's go.
Who are those two men? They seem too vivid, too real. I don't like that. I don't like it at all. Meddling in people's lives like that, it's wrong. There's no excuse for it. He invited them in. They were guests.
Oh, you're still here. Well, what a fascinating excursion that was. I'm simply beside myself with... Well, to see what our writers come up with next. Such solidity. Such... Well, look at me, stuck for words. How ridiculous. A narrator without a story to sell. But who am I to intervene? After all, reality writes itself.